Trigger warning. The following episode contains references to gore, sexual content, animal cruelty, death, factual inaccuracies, several entitled people making light of all these things. If any of the aforementioned topics cause you discomfort, you may want to listen to a different episode.
Hey baby, you want to hug a bit? And for 2 days straight, I'm Adam.
Why are all these German frogs exploding? Has anybody seen Brandon Lee? I'm Andy.
Well, this certainly puts my pregnancy in perspective. I'm Kelly.
Get out of here, swimming penis. There's a new king in town. I'm Sean, and this is Acid Pop. Hello everyone, and welcome back. Today, we're going to be talking about frogs, and consequently, toads.
Well, they're like the almost the same thing, right?
Yeah, essentially. So, frog comes from Middle English, frog, only it's spelled with two G's and an E.
Froggy.
And toad is from Middle English, toad, which is spelled T-O-D-E.
So, we just moved the letters around and got rid of some.
Yeah, it's funny because in all the sort of Germanic European languages, they all had words for frog and toad, and they basically just scrambled the letters around, but phonetically it always worked out the same.
I'll have to try that next time we play Scrabble, which is never.
Amphibian comes from two Greek words, amphi, meaning two, and bios, meaning life.
Because they transform.
Well, okay. Because they live in the water and on land. So the Greeks thought that they had two lives.
So if I met a man who had a secret second family, could I call him an amphibian?
Yeah.
Is the second family underwater?
It would have to be.
Yes, his second family lives in the station in the abyss.
But I thought that was pretty cool. Two life. So there are some phobias. Ranidophobia is the fear of frogs, which comes from the Latin word ranidae, which means frog. And bufonophobia is the fear of toads from the Latin word bufo, which means toad.
Fear of big hair.
Yeah. Yeah. Like I've heard bufo a lot, I feel like, in my life. I never knew that it meant there's a Latin word for toad.
Yeah, I've heard of a bouffant.
Yeah. So, frogs and toads are amphibians, which means that they are vertebrates. They need water or moist environments to survive. And it also means they have the ability to breathe and drink through their skin.
A skill I've always envied.
I know, right?
I mean, you say that now.
Take a bath, be completely hydrated, and yet still filthy.
Yeah, but you'd be drinking like your dirty body water.
You wouldn't taste it, though.
And soap.
But think how clean my skin would be, both inside and out. Frogs start out life as spermy little fishy things called tadpoles. And as they grow, they lose their gills and they grow legs and lungs, which is kind of interesting that they have both throughout their life.
Yeah, I did that too.
And that's all the science we're going to talk about because we're going to move on to our acid pop quiz. True or false? Frogs are carnivorous.
True.
That sounds pretty true.
I'm pretty sure that's true.
Yep, you all got it. They are carnivorous. They mostly eat bugs and worms, but they also can eat mice, birds, and other frogs.
Yeah, they eat flies and drink beer.
I feel like I've seen a video of one eating a lizard.
Yeah. I just saw a picture the other day of one with a bat in its mouth, so...
They'll do it.
Like the wings were sticking out the sides.
True or false, frogs do not have teeth.
I think that's false.
Seems false. They're very small.
I think that's true.
It is false. They do have teeth. They have teeth along their upper jaw, and they sort of use that to clamp down on things until they can position their bodies better to just swallow whatever they're trying to eat whole.
Not on their lower jaw?
Nope, just on the top. So their bottom jaw sort of just comes up and pins it to the top teeth. So true or false, some frogs can change their color.
I'm going to say that it is true. Some very fashionable frogs change with the season.
Yeah, I'm going to say true because I don't know why you would have brought it up otherwise.
Seems true to me.
Yeah, I had to look into this because a lot of amphibians and reptiles can do this, but I wasn't sure if frogs could, so I looked into it. Turns out that they can. Several species can, though not all frogs. One in particular called the gray tree frog, which goes from a pretty normal looking frog to a black and white photo, essentially. It's like all the color drains away from it.
Weird.
Oh no, it's going back to the 40s.
So true or false, there is a flying frog.
That is true.
I'm going to say true, but I'm going to say that he flies by inflating himself and floating around like a balloon.
I think they spread their little finger bits and they have big webs.
Yeah.
Yeah, you guys got it there. It's not exactly a flying frog. It's flying in the sense of a flying squirrel. It's more of a gliding frog.
Better than I can do.
Yeah, me too. It's called Helen's Flying Frog, and it lives in South Vietnam, and it has a small body and large webbed feet.
And lives in Helen's backyard.
And the females even have flaps under their arms, like 1950s Spider-Man.
Weird.
Yeah.
One of my favorite things about when any explorer finds anything, they're like, this is Helen's frog.
That's the dream, though. I want to go somewhere and name something.
That would be weird. Could you imagine just being like out walking and like a frog flying into your face?
It would just stick there.
Yeah, these were actually a pretty recent discovery. But this scientist went out and found them and cataloged them. But in South Vietnam, they're like, oh yeah, we see those all the time. They've been here forever.
We put up bug zappers
for
them.
Discovering them.
Yeah. You know?
No, I've discovered it. It's mine, Helen's frog.
Yeah, I can't remember exactly, but I think the scientist that found it named it after her mother, who was Helen, not herself. But I'm not positive on that. I wonder how conflicted scientists are when they discover something like, should I name it after myself? It's like, no, I don't want other scientists to think I'm an asshole. I'll name it after that guy.
I feel like you need to name the first one after yourself. And then after that, you can name them whatever you want.
Yeah.
This is a totally bitching Tony Hawk frog.
Discovered by me, Tony Hawk.
Watch me do a 900.
So now it's time for our fill in the blank. How big is the largest frog in weight?
Oh, goodness.
10 pounds. A large baby.
15 pounds.
I think you guys are going too big. I'm going to say 5 pounds.
Whoop. Kelly's the closest without going over. The correct answer was 7 pounds or 3 kilos. Yeah, it's still the size of a baby.
But an average size baby.
And this frog can be 13 inches in length. And these guys don't have a mating call. Instead, when two males want to impress a female, they wrestle. And whoever wins gets to mate with the female.
So you're telling me that two frogs that are the size of paving stones are wrestling in front of another frog that is enamored with one or both?
Yeah. To all the other frogs in the area, it looks like a Godzilla fight.
And then the poison tree frog comes over, touches one of them. He's like, I win.
Then he goes to mate and kills the female.
Ah, c'est la vie.
Poor female's over there going, yes, I love wrestling. This is amazing.
What? Oh, right. Yeah. So strong. Woo.
Which one of you is the rock?
So how small is the smallest frog?
Ooh, very
small. I've seen some very small frogs. In weight?
Let's go by length for this one.
An eighth of an inch.
An eight?
So that would be 0.125 inches.
Like very, very small.
How long is my pinky fingernail?
Pinky nail.
That's exactly what I'm thinking, Adam.
That's probably between a quarter inch and a half an inch.
I'm going to say a quarter inch.
Adam went with the same one, I think.
Oh, did he say something?
I don't know. However big my pinky is. You know how big that is?
I think it's about a quarter inch.
No, I mean my pinky specifically.
Well, then you guys are the closest without going over. It is 0.27 inches long, which is 7 millimeters. And not only might this be the smallest frog, it could be the smallest vertebrate in the world.
Wow.
How many of them can I fit in my mouth?
Well, let me tell you, you can easily put 3 of them on a dime without them touching.
Wow.
How many dimes can you fit in your mouth, Andy?
I haven't tried. Hold on.
Just break open the old piggy bank.
The current title holder for smallest animal that they're trying to steal it away from is the male anglerfish, which is also about 7 or 8 millimeters long.
The one that becomes a vestigial nothing?
Yep.
Yeah, I was going to say, they're pretty much just like swimming tumors, though. I'm going to give it to the frogs.
Well, swimming penis tumors.
Yeah, I was going to say, they're like swimming genitals.
Let me just attach myself to here and have some sperm, and then I'm just going to live here.
I had a nightmare like that once. So, next question. We are talking about the most poisonous frog in the world now, which is the golden poison dart frog.
I think you just ruined your question.
Well, my question is, 1 gram or 0.035 ounces of the toxin of this frog could kill how many people?
Ooh, I remember it being a lot.
200 people.
Like two.
Damn it, Adam took my... Yeah, two people.
57 people.
500 people.
The correct answer is 100,000 people.
What? Okay, so
it's not a big frog. How is that many people going to touch that one frog?
How are you going to get that poison in that many people's systems?
You're just going to have to line them all up and then put on a glove and grab this frog and just run down the lines going.
One of those old college stunts, like stuffing phone booths.
Yeah. So our next question: why do frogs blink?
To breathe.
Okay.
Oh, you'll blink. You have to breathe sometime. To clean their eyes off?
I mean, I know they use their eyes to swallow.
That's it. Yep. Frogs don't really have much of a neck. They're pretty much just head and torso. So as a result, they don't have any neck muscles, really. So when they swallow something, they put it towards the back of their throat, and then they blink, and their eyes, sinking into their head, pushes whatever they're trying to eat down into their stomachs.
Okay, Kelly had a fancy answer, but I think mine is still correct.
Head and torso, knees and toes.
So our last question is kind of a fun one. What do you call a group of frogs and or a group of toads?
Damn, I'm going to say a chorus.
Oh, I like that.
I do like that. What about a choir? Is that the same answer?
Oh, what? Cacophony.
Very musical answers.
How about a boy band? A boy band of toads.
An NSYNC of frogs.
That one's showy for tone.
I'm going to say a bump.
Ooh, it's good. A group of frogs is an army of frogs, and a group of toads is a knot of toads.
Yeah. That's weird.
K-N-O-T.
I feel like the frogs have a better publicist.
Yeah.
See, I would have liked a cacophony or a chorus.
Yeah. And I don't think I mentioned this earlier, but there really isn't... It's really hard to decide the difference between frogs and toads. Like, the answer that's down in books is that toads live in dry climates and frogs live in moist climates, but that's not always the case. There's toads that live in water and frogs that live in the desert. So it's pretty much just whatever the scientist that discovered them wants to call it.
They flip a coin.
One of my favorite things out here is when the toads start burrowing out of the desert, and you go out there and it's just crick, crick, crick. You're like, what the hell? There's no water here anywhere.
Yeah. So time for our terms. What is amplexus?
Am or an?
A-M-P.
Amplexus. Amplexus. Ooh, that's the muscle that makes it so the frogs can croak.
That is the process of a tadpole losing its tail.
That was going to be my guess, that it's the process of metamorphosis.
Well, it's mine now.
Well, we can have the same one.
Well, what if I told you Adam was wrong?
It's still my guess.
Okay.
Way to stick to your guns.
So amplexus is the act of reproduction in frogs. So here's how this typically goes down. The male, which is typically smaller than the female, climbs up on top of the female and just gives her a big old hug. And he basically just sits up there squeezing her for sometimes hours, but sometimes up to days. And eventually he squeezes her so hard that she squirts out a bunch of eggs.
That's where babies come from. I see you're practicing for when your child is born. Yeah.
And daddy gives the mom a big old hug.
Yeah. So then once the eggs are out, the male fertilizes the eggs, and then a number of things can happen. But that being squeezed so hard you squirt out eggs is called amplexus.
I did it.
I just love you so much.
So what is the nictitating membrane?
That's the one that cleans off your eyes, or it goes over your eye when you're underwater.
That was going to be my answer as well, but I'm going to... That is also the thing that helps frogs croak.
So the croaking sound is just the squeakiness of the nictating lens going over.
Creaky, creaky.
Adam is clearly right. He sounds so confident, but he lied to me last time.
I didn't lie to you. You tried to take my answer.
I'm going to say it's the membrane between their toesies that helps them swim.
Nope, Adam got it. It is their third clear eyelid that goes over their eyes when they're underwater so they can see where they're going.
Where do I get one?
I know, seriously. It'd be so cool. I wish I had so bad. Though I don't know how that would work with my contacts. It'd probably get kind of confusing in there.
No, they would immediately shove your contacts to the side and cut the inside of your eyes.
Violent tonight, Adam.
I'm just dropping truth bombs. If you can't handle it, then get out of the kitchen.
I think you mix your metaphors.
Adam's blowing up kitchens.
So what is a vernal pool?
Shit, I've heard this.
That is where Ernest keeps his imaginary frogs.
The Vern spawning pools. A vernal pool, I think, is like I thought it was like a geothermal thing, but I don't know how that would apply to frogs.
I mean, I'm thinking about equinoxes now.
Yeah.
That's
sort of on the right path.
I'm going to say it's where they breed.
Yeah, more or less. A vernal pool is a temporary body of water. So it's like if there's a big rain and water pools up somewhere, but it eventually dries up, that's a vernal pool. And frogs do often use vernal pools for their reproduction.
For their hugging.
Hey, baby, yeah. A new pool just opened. Do you want a hug?
Going to be much more suspicious of men who say they're huggers going forward.
Squeeze the eggs out of her.
You don't want a two-day hug? And that concludes our pop quiz. So now we're going to talk about some very horrifying frogs.
Kermit for one.
So we're going to start with the hairy frog, which is found throughout Cameroon.
I have some guesses about this one.
Yeah. Which is in the Democratic Republic of Congo, and also Equatorial Guinea, Gabon, and Nigeria. So the males of the species look like they have fringe along their sides.
Oh, good. Grandma, give them some ruffle.
Yeah. Now, the hair, while interesting, isn't the most interesting thing about these frogs. What is their defense mechanism. So when threatened, they will break their own arm until their forearm is jabbing through their skin.
And I've then heard of this.
They will stab their attacker with the protruding bone.
That's pretty metal.
Yeah. So if injured or significantly unnerved, the attacker will let the frog go. And over the next few days, the arm will mend itself back together.
Oh, man, but I mean, they have pain receptors.
Yeah.
This has got to be a hell of an attack.
I just picture the like other frogs having that conversation from the first X-Men with Wolverine. Like, when they come out, does it hurt?
Like, every time.
Oh, it's excruciating.
Somebody's limping around like, yes,
I win.
That bird tried to eat me, but I showed it.
Have they tried, like, hopping away?
Can't hop when all your legs are broken.
So life isn't easy for tadpoles. Baby frogs are completely defenseless, and they make easy and tasty prey for fish, birds, and fully grown frogs. The frogs have a lot of different techniques for keeping their tadpoles safe. Some lay so many eggs that only a few are bound to make it. Some hide their eggs away, and then there's the Darwin frog. So here's how the process works. First, the male hops up on the female's back and gives her a good old-fashioned squeezing. Once the female has laid a few dozen eggs, the male fertilizes them. Then he swallows them and tucks them into his vocal cords. He then walks around with a mouthful of tadpoles until they are fully formed frogs.
And then
at which point his roiling and bulging skin looks like a weakened barrier between two worlds.
No.
He then coughs up a bunch of fully formed frogs that basically turn his throat inside out.
It's the equinox. The convergence is upon us.
Somebody wanted to show up the seahorse.
Yeah. So his grateful and disgusting children then hop off out to live their lives.
Hey, kids, could you shove my stomach back in?
So as gross as that is, it is nothing compared to the Suriname toad.
Oh, the pseudonym toad.
What is it really called?
It's also called a frog.
Stephen King.
First of all, the one weird thing about it is that it can't croak. So instead, it strikes together two bones in its throat to make a sort of clicking sound.
Weird.
Breaks the bones in its throat.
Yeah.
Bashes them together.
Which, like, right off the bat, that makes this frog a little bit creaky or creepy. It's just got, like, a clicking bone noise. Yeah.
It's got a bone rattle in its throat.
Yeah. Once a pair hooks up, the female lays the eggs, the male fertilizes them, and then he pushes the eggs up onto the female's back. Once there, her skin grows over the top of the eggs, and there can be between 60 and 100 eggs when this happens. The little toads continue to develop like gremlins inside little sacks on the female's back.
What I was just thinking.
That's the best description I can think of.
And they keep growing until they're big enough and strong enough to survive, which means that they can rip their way out of their mother's skin. So the female sits calmly as her undulating back explodes with hundreds of fully developed toads.
Oh, Jeremy, you were always the strongest.
So job done. She then sheds the tattered remains of her skin, eats it, and starts psyching herself up for next year.
Ladies and gentlemen in the audience, may I just say, brace yourself before Googling this one.
Yeah. If you've never seen this before, it's one of the creepiest things that you can possibly watch. Like, I don't know that I've ever seen anything in a horror movie that comes close to being as unnerving as this. Like, because first you can just, like, look at this frog's back, which is just, like, pockmarked with all these holes. And then inside each hole is a little wriggling animal.
Well, there's that that fear that some people have that of, like, yeah, those clustered holes or whatever. I don't know what to call it, but yeah, like, that's a whole thing.
Yeah, this will trigger it like crazy.
Yeah.
This frog was made just for it.
And then as the frog gets close to, I don't know, giving birth, I guess you could call it, like, the back just starts to bubble and, like, the frogs just push and pull underneath their skin.
The Jiffy Pop frog.
Yeah. It's pretty awful.
But man, it seems like somebody should have made a delicacy out of that at some point.
No.
I'd be surprised if it wasn't.
Like, you fry the mother just enough that the babies try to escape and then pop it in your mouth and they're all in there like, boop, boop, boop,
stop
boop.
It, you horrible French man.
I've heard about cruelty birds.
Andy, always looking for new ways to eat fetuses.
So, in the mid-1990s, frogs throughout U.S. and Canada were found with a range of back legs between 0 and 12.
Seems a little excessive.
Yeah.
Seems like not enough or too many.
This was bad news for the frogs, certainly, but it got people thinking about more important matters, like, what if this happened to me? So scientists started investigating the problem to see what was causing this and if it was contagious.
Whether or not they could make Superman with 12 legs.
What they found was a very strange and very specialized parasite. So this is a flatworm called Ribeiroia.
Yeah, I just learned about this one in my parasitology class last semester.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. So it hatches from an egg in fresh water and develops into little cilia-covered life forms. So just basically little cells with hairs all over it. It swims around and finds its way into a certain type of snail called the ram's horn snail.
Goddamn snails. They have so many parasites.
Yeah.
I have no idea.
Once it's in there, it shuts down the snail's reproductive functions, ensuring that all resources go to making lots of fleshy bits that the flatworm lodges in and multiplies.
Shut it down.
So after a few weeks of building up its strength in the snail testicles, it swims out and finds itself a fish or a tadpole. Either's fine, but the tadpoles are the one that it's really after. So what it does is it sort of lodges itself onto the skin of the tadpole and it forms a hard cyst and starts pumping the tadpole full of vitamin A, which is a key vitamin in the formation of limbs in frogs.
Yeah.
My legs are just full of vitamin A.
Yep. So with all this extra vitamin A, the tadpole practically blooms with legs. This makes it both freaky looking and slow.
Too much of a good thing.
My frog could use some pruning.
These slow frogs are much more likely to get eaten by birds. And once the frogs have been eaten by birds, the cysts come back to life and evolve into the fully formed flatworm. And they basically just have a big orgy in the bird's reproductive system. So then they lay a bunch of eggs, the bird poops out the eggs into fresh water, and the whole process starts again. Yep.
And then snails eat poop because they're gross.
Yep.
Yeah, the snails are awful.
So that's a pretty crazy thing. And like, it's spreading fairly rapidly because, you know, it gets into birds and birds go all over the damn place. So wherever they poop and wherever there's these snails and wherever there's frogs, this whole thing can happen.
Can't keep these damn birds off my lawn.
I'm a great defender of bird intelligence for the most part, but like, if you see something with 12 legs and your first thought is, I want to eat that, maybe you're not as bright as I thought.
But the legs are the best part.
Your first thought is, man, that slow frog looks tasty.
Yeah. I'm feeling lazy today, and that slow frog has so many legs with which to feed my children.
I've earned it. I just got that big promotion.
Yeah, now I'm top bird at the firm.
I'm not eating in you two's kitchens anymore.
No, just because I get 12-legged chickens.
5 yolks is better than 1, right?
It is. I want my fried egg to look like some sort of monstrosity.
So our next story, I have been sitting on this one for a while. I almost used it back in our combustion episode, but it didn't seem quite right. And there's a couple other times when it seemed I really wanted to shoehorn it in, but this is truly the perfect episode for this story.
Great flaming frogs!
So in April 2005 in Hamburg, Germany, residents went to a small local pond to find a gruesome scene. The shore was lined with the corpses of toads, each having apparently exploded from the inside.
Okay.
Over the coming weeks, several eyewitness accounts reported the toads would suddenly start to swell, quickly growing to 3 times their normal size before bursting apart and showering their entrails all over the ground.
No.
Crazy. Somebody's been dumping chili in the pond.
So the phenomenon began to spread to other nearby lakes and ponds. So scientists were starting to scramble to figure out why all these toads were exploding.
Now it's a fad.
So the toads were checked for some sort of virus or bacteria, but nothing could be found. Luckily, top herpetologist Frank Muchman was on the job. So Dr. Muchman performed the equivalent of tiny toad autopsies and found that there was the same surgical incisions on the back of the exploded toads. These incisions were so precise and so consistent that Dr. Muchman determined there was only one animal clever enough to pull it off. Crows.
Dexter. Oh.
So these toads, like many toads, have poisonous skin. But the crows, don't ask me how, worked out that if they snuck up behind the toads and quickly stabbed them in the back and pulled out their liver, the toads would perform their defense mechanism, which was to start to swell up. However, the toads could only tell when they were fully inflated when there was enough pressure on their liver against their diaphragm. So with no liver, the frogs would just keep swelling up until their delicious non-toxic organs were sprayed through the hole and the crows
weird
could eat all the delicious organs inside.
Okay, birds just want me back.
Crows are the most wild animal.
Yep. And so this is the latest report of this happening, but apparently crows have figured this out in the past because there are records of this going back to the 1800s where all of a sudden there would just be an epidemic of exploding toads through Germany.
Some sort of crow physicians going, sink, ha ha.
It's more like a crow serial killer.
Yep.
They got another one.
Start it back up when they just really want to mess with people. Like, yeah. Remember what Grandpappy said about toads?
So as a last note, I will mention a few frogs that are not worth going into detail about, but certainly worth taking a look at. And these will be linked on our site if you want to come and check it out. So there's the purple frog found in southern India, which basically looks like somebody turned a hamster inside out.
No good.
Is it the purple pig-nosed frog?
Yeah.
Yeah, it looks like a little purple potato.
Yeah.
Is it the one that goes, eh?
No, that one's a cute frog. This is not a cute frog.
It might do that too. I don't know. Well, did you see what one of the interesting things about the purple pig-nosed frog was?
Well, if I remember right, it's that they live underground, but they come up above ground to mate. But they're pretty much their whole body is designed to work underground. So when they get up on top of the ground, they just act like drunken idiots. So watching a pair of these things try and mate is, I don't know how to describe it, but
I'm going to hug you.
Well, that's part of it. The other part is that the tadpoles live on the vertical surfaces behind waterfalls.
Oh, yeah.
Like their mouths are little suckers and they like scrape the moss off the back. And then they live underground.
Yep. There's the turtle frog in Western Australia, so called because it looks like a turtle had its shell forcefully ripped off. And lastly, there is the glass frog, which is found throughout Mexico and Panama, whose skin is pretty much completely transparent, so you can just watch its organs working away.
Oh, what a delight. What sort of evolutionary advantage does this provide?
Instead of having camouflage, It just looks like behind it.
Yeah, it doesn't have to change colors. It just looks like
gross.
It just looks like a pile of organs sitting on a leaf.
That's not going to attract any predators.
They were doing a study on it. The other bit of it they think might be an advantage is it kind of looks like its eggs.
Yeah.
So when it stays and guards the eggs, like it almost acts as a decoy.
Yep. It's a bunch of weird frogs out there.
And you've just got the crows going, I can see the liver so clearly. This will be easy.
I mean, it's almost too easy.
Frogs, you're on notice.
That's all the stories I had. Anybody have any good frog stories?
I mean, I had some little frogs when I was a kid.
Yeah. Did you?
Yeah. We had like a little tank of, not even a tank. It was more like a bowl of frogs.
for the company.
Well, there was like a little rock in there, and one day we came home and one of the frogs had gotten pinned between the rock and the little tank itself. So the entire upper half of him was just nothing but crust.
Oh, no. Yeah, when I was a little, my dad had a place in Gardnerville and we had little tree frogs in the backyard, which is weird for Nevada, but there you go.
Yeah.
And I loved them. And I would go out and catch them. And then I'd bring them in the house, and then I'd lose them.
Sorry, Dad.
Just the great cycle.
So the house was littered with, like, starved frog corpses. But it was never my intention to hurt any of them. I planned to take them outside. It's just they were good at getting away.
I've escaped. Oh, my God. There's nothing to eat in here.
I think you were, like, unnaturally selecting for the frogs in your backyard.
So when we lived in Chicago in our disgustingly roach-infested apartment, we caught a toad at the time and kept it for a few years. And we would just every once in a while unleash our toad upon the roaches.
It was very therapeutic.
Yeah.
I imagine that toad didn't get very far before it was too full to move.
Yeah, that was pretty much, it was never a problem of the toad not being good enough to catch the roaches. It was that there were too many roaches for the toad to eat. But watching a toad hunt is really interesting because it's pretty clear that their vision is based on movement. So it would just hang out in a little spot and then a roach would start moving and it would just like zero in on it. It would just like lock on. And then usually the roaches were smart enough to stop at that point, but toads can just wait all day. So she would just sort of hang out there. And then the second the roach twitched so much as an antenna, that would be enough for the tongue launch. And she would just shoot it out and snap up a roach.
Delicious.
How come you weren't bringing tree frogs from the outside in that place, Kelly?
I didn't have a backyard full of them.
Eventually, you could have an army of frogs living in your house.
but doesn't that is that as good or worse than the army of roaches?
And then you'd need to bring in, what would you need to bring in afterwards to get rid of your plague of frogs?
Crows.
Well, then you're just going to have exploded toads all over the place.
I'm okay with every step of this except for the roaches.
Let's see what else. That was probably it. There was that one time we went to Michigan to visit your mom, and in her backyard, there was just like every blade of grass had a frog on it. So they were pretty much invisible when they were holding still, but you would go to put your foot down and there would just be this like swarm of frogs running in every direction. you could basically just bend over and scoop up a handful of these teeny weeny little frogs, and they were super cute.
Cover them in salt, just crunch them down.
Andy, are you hungry? You tried frog legs.
Oh, yeah, I have tried frog. I think I mentioned that in our appetite episode, but I think that ended up getting cut because that episode was too long. But yeah, I was in a Chinese restaurant in San Francisco one time, and pretty much if there's something on the menu that I've never tried before, I'll definitely try it. And they had frog on the menu. And I was like, sure, why not? I'll give it a shot. And I can't really say much for the flavor. It tasted fine. I mean, when you go to a Chinese restaurant, they bread and deep fry everything. So it pretty much just tasted like deep fried bread. But whoever had prepared this frog seems to have prepared it with a hammer, because there were just these like teeny tiny bone shards. And it was like 3 or 4 in every bite that I took. And so as I ate, I was just like carefully picking out these little bone shards. And when I finished, I had a little heap of bones that was probably the equivalent of 5 or 6 frogs.
Sean, it was one of those hairy toads and it was trying to defend itself.
No, yeah. That's what I was going to say. It's the beauty of it is it tenderizes itself. You just threaten it a bunch before you cook them.
Then you just pull the bones out like, eat, eat.
All right. Well, if nobody has any other stories, we're going to move on to what are your morals worth?
Break your own bones, Andy.
What I have is a Suriname toad right on the verge of giving birth. I'm going to hand it to you, and you've got to hang on to it for its entire birthing process. If you drop the frog, you don't get any of the money. So how much would I have to pay you to give this a shot?
Do I have to have my eyes open?
Yeah.
I think I've seen this before, and while it's creepy, I don't know if I'd drop the frog unless it bit me.
I do that for free and then put it on my resume.
Yeah. You are a biologist.
It's like $500.
Yeah.
You're never going to get to do this again, and it's not hurting me.
Yeah, it won't hurt.
Have I mentioned my fear of large numbers of small things?
Yeah.
And parasites, which all babies basically are, especially when they're climbing out of your skin.
I think that's when they're least like parasites.
Yeah, they've solved their parasitic problem, yeah, and now they're real boys.
They're emancipating.
Yeah, emancipating. It. Yes, but I mean that if it is a parasite that rips your skin open to escape, that makes it more parasite-y.
I was going
to
say, is a pot fly not a parasite then?
No, they're emancipated.
Yeah, I could do it for $500.
Yeah, you're saying $500.
Not too bad.
I would vomit, but you didn't say no vomiting.
Disqualified.
No. Vomit all over the frog. The frogs are crawling out of it and jumping all over the place.
Yeah, I'll say I am not very easily creeped out or grossed out, but even me watching this frog give birth makes me a little uncomfortable. But having said that, I do still think it's super cool. So I think I would still do it for free.
Squirmy.
Yep.
Now you're going to be responsible for all those baby toads.
No, they're fully grown.
In your hands.
No, they're good to go.
Yeah, they're independent.
Find them homes.
Yep.
He's an independent toad that doesn't need any man.
No, it's like finding a litter of kittens. They're your responsibility now.
Is that the way
I think
that
I'd
works?
Probably be okay with that.
Well, you need the litter of kittens to get rid of the crows in your house. Yeah.
Just do like a frog Highlander battle. All right. Well, I think that's all we've got for this week. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll see you next time. Thanks to my co-hosts, and thank you so much for tuning in today. If you would like more information about today's episode, check out our website at acidpoppodcast.podbean.com. You can also find us on Twitter at acidpoppodcast and contact us at acidpoppodcast@gmail.com. Be sure to like, subscribe, and give us all the stars you can. Stay safe out there, and we'll see you next week.